helping you escape the Florida heat. Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAirFL.com.
WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to another edition of The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. Your host for the show today is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. And our phone lines will be open for you to add comments or ask questions along the way. There are also some other ways of getting your questions answered, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. A new feature on our website I want to make sure that we get to. My name is Tad Matthews. Let me introduce to you the host of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Todd. Oh, well, you know, last week we introduced this new feature.
Mm-hmm.
So because a lot of my patients are saying, oh, I'm shy to call in and ask a question.
Right.
So we have now Ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. So anyone who has a question, you email. It's also on the website WCCFAM.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask your question, and then I will go ahead and answer it at the next show.
Obviously, observing confidentiality that's required. No, but still, there are sometimes some common questions without telling who it is that may be helpful.
We're not going to mention anyone's name, but we did get an email.
Awesome.
And this person, who's a male, wanted to find out. It says, could you provide just what a new patient will be subjected to on their first visit?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the length of time.
That's a good question. I think
yes.
We all, especially us guys, have a little intimidation when it comes to going to the doctor. So knowing in advance what I'm going to be facing, that's a good idea.
Well, I just want to remind everyone that I am a family medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I have been treating patients since 1985. And that is my first and foremost interest. Now, since then, I am a lipidologist and I have my boards. I am a diplomat of the American Board of Clinical Lipidology,
mm-hmm.
which specializes in the prevention of what causes the heart attack,
mm-hmm.
cholesterol, and diabetes and stroke.
The lipid story is one that we've told many times, and it is involved in every aspect of your health.
And we will also, through, because I'm not 20 anymore, as we say.
Really?
Oh, no.
Oh, I want to see a driver's license. Sure. Got to be 21 at the most.
No. What we're trying, I have special and advanced studies in treating women for their life change called menopause.
I've had some shows
and
about that, yeah.
We've had shows. We've had Dr. Marina Johnson on the show. And I have more and more patients are coming to me and asking me to help them with their menopause.
Okay.
So going back to the question,
mm-hmm.
at the first visit, we try to get, first of all, we have, we establish the patient's medical history. And we review their medications. We ask patients to come ahead of time, if possible, and pick up the new patient paperwork. We are working to have that be able to be downloaded from our website.
Okay.
So patients can fill out all their paperwork and come in for their first visit.
That's a good idea because typically as you're sitting there in the waiting room before your appointment, trying to remember who in the family had this condition, trying to remember how many milligrams of this medicine I take, it's better to do it when you've got it all in front of you.
Right. And I always tell patients, the more information I have about you, the better I can take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So during the first visit, we review all medications. We do a comprehensive exam, and depending on the patient's needs, if they need to do an EKG, if they need orders,
mm-hmm.
that we have to order special tests,
mm-hmm.
And we answer the patient's questions, and we provide education to reduce your risk factors.
Okay.
So the time factor is variable. We say at least an hour. It might be longer. But because it involves my time, the nurse's time, and the patient, if they come in and need to fill out their paperwork, mm-hmm. we ask them to come a little bit earlier.
Sure.
So I hope this answers your question. The patient who emailed that asked Dr. Triana. And again, if you have any other questions that you would like to ask, that we will be able to answer at the next program.
Let me just expand on that question for one quick second here. I imagine when I see you face to face after the paperwork and all that's processed, I imagine what you choose to take a look at with regard to my body and my health has a lot to do with my health history. But are there some general things you're going to do on, say, a general physical checkup?
Yes, there's general things we do. Again, I tell my patients that you're my book for the day, that mm-hmm. you're the book I'm reading. And so it does take a lot of time, and it's very detailed oriented. And not everything at times can be accomplished in one visit, of course. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of gathering information, ordering the test that needs to be done, depending on the patient's either past history or current conditions.
Depending on their age and where they are in their life and what they've had, you might have one test or the other that you want them to get.
Right. And also depending on their medications.
Okay.
So again, the more information, I also usually ask and request, and if they bring them in when the first visit, their old records, it's very helpful. I review all that to get a better picture of what's been going on with the patients.
Gotcha.
And you know, a lot of patients now are keeping their own, what I call their own ledger, their own notebook of copy of their test that they've had, any hospitalizations. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Now, is that something that anybody can do? Where does the law stand? Do I have the right to access or have copies of all of my medical records?
Yes, you do.
So it would behoove you to do so.
You should be able to get all your records. Mm-hmm. You know, the patient has to sign a form, of course, that they're asking for their records, but patients are entitled to their records now, and their lab tests. Mm-hmm. Now, when a patient comes in, though, and I order something, I usually request the patient, depending on what we order, for them to return so we can review the results and then make a plan of action. Whether those tests are normal or not normal, there has to be a plan of action, because what we're looking for basically, and we've said this before, is more good, healthy years.
That's it.
More
That's the whole
good
point
years.
Of this show.
That's the whole thing. I'm trying to disseminate knowledge, information, so people can go out and either ask their doctor, or if they need a physician, or if they're out of town, to ask questions.
Okay.
Knowledge is power, right?
Especially when it comes to your health.
Right. So today we're going to talk about, we have been talking about the digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this. There is a part of your body. It's a sac.
Mm-hmm.
It's underneath your liver.
Okay.
It's about 3 to 4 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
It holds 10 teaspoons of bile. And that sac is called the gallbladder. The gallbladder is very important also, because when it gets sick and has gallstones and causes a problem, which we're going to discuss today, it is a cause of 700,000 surgeries were done last year to remove the gallbladder.
My mother-in-law just had hers removed earlier this year.
700,000.
Mm-hmm.
About 20 million people in this country have gallstones.
Hmm.
20 million people. So this is very important to understand. It's a part of our body. Yes, the gallbladder, it holds what the liver produces. The liver's cells, which are called hepatocytes, produce bile.
Mm-hmm.
But bile is produced about 1/4 day is produced by the liver. A quart.
That much.
That much. Its color is yellow, brownish, or olive green. So I want everyone to understand, did you know that bile is composed of water, mm-hmm. bile salts, cholesterol, lecithin, and a bile pigment called bilirubin?
All right.
Bilirubin, our body is a great recycler.
Mm-hmm.
When red blood cells get too old, they are picked up by the liver, broken down. These old red blood cells break down into iron, globulin, which is also recycled,
mm-hmm.
and bilirubin. Bilirubin is what gives it, it's a bio pig, the pigment,
mm-hmm.
what gives the color, but also when bile is thrown into the intestine, when it breaks down, it's what gives the color to our stool, that brown color. The byproduct when, remember we talked about
mm-hmm.
what comes out of your intestines.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a bowel movement and it's brown, it's because of the bilirubin breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very important to understand. Because if we are in tune to our bodies and we look at things and we see a change, that is a red flag. Bile is very, very important.
What is the purpose of it? What is its function in?
Bile, the function of bile is for digestion.
All right.
Okay, bile is produced by the liver. It's stored in the gallbladder. Then there's a little tube where it goes into your intestines.
Mm-hmm.
And the bile is dumped into your intestines when you eat food. All this has a, what I call a telephone system.
Mm-hmm.
Your hormones that are produced in the intestines, one of them is called cholecystokinin. There are also enzymes that are produced, pancreozyme, and they stimulate the gallbladder to contract.
Okay.
So when you eat, the gallbladder contracts, it dumps bile into the intestines. The intestines then is where more digestion occurs. And the bile is important also for something called emulsification.
Uh-huh.
That's where it breaks down your fat into from big droplets to little droplets.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is incredible that our body is recycling and putting it together to help for our digestion.
It's an amazing system, as we've plainly found out through a course of a number of programs. The body just keeps amazing.
It is so amazing. So the role of bile is very important. Now, what happens when things don't work as good as they should? Almost everybody knows somebody out there who's had their gallbladder taken out.
Yes.
Okay? The gallbladder is very important, but there are certain things that predispose us to produce stones in our gallbladder. If that stone, which can be anything from sand to a bigger stone, when it travels down that bile ducts and it goes into what's called the common bile duct, that stone can cause a blockage.
Mm-hmm.
If that stone is not put through into the intestine, that blockage will cause pain. And that blockage can also, everything will back up. Because we're going to talk about the pancreas next week.
Okay.
The pancreas, when its enzymes, its juices can't be dumped into the intestine, that causes inflammation in the pancreas called pancreatitis. And let me tell you, that is a lot of pain.
Is it?
It's a serious disease. So what the bile, when you have a problem with it, you can have a condition called jaundice or icterus because what happens, you get a yellow color of your sclera and your skin and the lining of your mouth, the mucous membranes.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who
was
kind of yellow.
Mm-hmm.
That jaundice, there's three ways that can occur. There's called prehepatic jaundice, which means the body, the liver, is so many red blood cells are breaking down, producing bilirubin, that it can't handle the overload.
Mm-hmm.
The second way that you can get jaundice is called hepatic jaundice. People who have destroyed their livers, cirrhosis of the liver, can get jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
Congenital liver diseases can be associated with jaundice. Inflammation of the liver by hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hepatitis can be caused by a virus. We hear about hepatitis C,
mm-hmm.
hepatitis A,
right.
hepatitis B, which those alone are going to warrant their own special program.
Gotcha. All right. Now, it's interesting that you said the different reasons for this, because there's a tendency, I think, to think when the liver goes bad, it must be something in an adult. But I've seen kids with that condition. So
kids can be born. Neonatal jaundice is important. Also, they can be born with, especially if they're preemies,
mm-hmm.
with that yellow coloration.
Yes.
So what is extrahepatic? That's the most common. That's the blockage of bile by the gallstone.
Mm-hmm.
Or, unfortunately, can also be blocked by a tumor or mass. So if someone becomes yellow and you see the sclera, which is the white part of the eye, becoming yellow, you need to see your doctor.
Now, is it possible to have that coloration come on without you having other symptoms? You mentioned there's pain involved, and I know from experience,
some people do not have pain.
I see.
But it's a sign.
That's the first sign for some people.
It needs to be attended to. It needs to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's a blockage, either from a stone or a tumor, and that tumor can be a cancer.
Okay.
So that is something that we need to address. So what are the signs and symptoms? Because people get a little confused about, you know, oh, I have a stomach. Where is my gallbladder?
Mm-hmm.
Your gallbladder is on the right upper part of your abdomen. It's right underneath the liver. It's pear-shaped. It's underneath your ribs. So if you develop what we call right upper quadrant pain, it might be your gallbladder. If you have bloating after eating foods, it might be your gallbladder.
Hmm.
If you have,
let me just ask you, when you say bloating, do you mean a feeling of bloating or an actual physical appearance of bloating?
You feel bloating, you feel gaseous, you feel nauseous, especially after eating fatty foods.
Okay.
Remember, the gallbladder is stimulated to contract the bile.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat fatty foods, the bile is used to digest fat.
Mm-hmm.
So that telephone system in the intestine that produces that cholecystokinin says, hey, we have a fatty meal. We ate too many greasy hamburgers or French fries. Oh my goodness, your gallbladder is going to contract,
mm-hmm.
to push the bile into the intestines.
Mm-hmm.
The liver's going to say, whoa, we got to produce more bile.
Okay.
So remember this. If you eat a fatty meal, you get pain. Now, that pain can sometimes be felt in the right shoulder. It can radiate to your back.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, if you start turning yellow, which is the jaundice,
mm-hmm.
it may be a problem also, as we discussed, with a stone there, blockage of the bile.
Now, so these are all abnormal conditions you're talking about?
These are all abnormal conditions.
My mind immediately went to Thanksgiving dinner, how fatty that is for a lot of us. But even after Thanksgiving dinner, if everything is functioning, you shouldn't have pain.
No, you should not have pain.
Okay.
You shouldn't turn yellow. You shouldn't have a fatty meal and feel right upper quadrant pain,
okay.
nauseous, like you're going to vomit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important, very important. And who are the patients that are more prone to have problems? Well, females have a greater chance of producing gallstones.
Mm.
also women who are fertile because there's more cholesterol. Cholesterol is dumped into the bile. Remember, we've discussed about cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
During pregnancy, you might have more, you have more cholesterol in your bile. If you're overweight, you can have more cholesterol dumped into your bile.
Mm-hmm.
If you all of a sudden have a rapid weight loss, you're more predisposed to producing gallstones. Gallstones are produced because we have a balance there of cholesterol and bile salts. So you can either produce stones or your gallbladder can have a condition called sludge.
It's really called sludge.
It's really called sludge, and it's like a, it's like sludge.
I see.
And it, and we're going to have a program. That's why I haven't discussed how do you image your gallbladder and your intestines, because we're going to have a program to image the digestive system.
Okay.
Okay, and it's, we're going to have as our guest Dr. Katzen, who is of Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to explain to people, where is the gallbladder? What does it do? Why is it important? And what is it when things go wrong? What do we need to look for? Another thing that we need to understand with our digestive system, because I have patients, they go, oh, I have my gallbladder out. Does that mean I don't have bile anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, your liver is still producing bile. It's still going into your intestines.
Okay.
You just don't have that little reservoir, the gallbladder, to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So you still, because you need it to digest your foods, especially your fats.
So can the body function normally without the gallbladder?
Yes.
Relatively normally?
You don't need the gallbladder, but you still need the bile.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very important to understand that our liver, which again is a whole separate program, is so important. It's recycling. It is putting together this liquid called bile for our digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So if your liver has been injured by abuse, by alcohol, or some drugs can hurt the liver,
mm-hmm.
or by an infection such as hepatitis B or C, then you need to know that your liver is extremely important. The liver does so much. We don't want to damage our livers.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can do to damage our livers.
And we need to know that one of the most common causes of inflammation of the pancreas, which we will discuss all the functions of the pancreas, is a gallstone that goes down into the intestines and gets trapped, and the bile can't go through, and the pancreatic juices can't go out into the intestine, and it causes inflammation of the pancreas, and we call that pancreatitis.
Which we heard earlier is a very painful condition.
And very serious. The pancreas is very important also. It produces insulin, produces glucagon, it produces the digestive enzymes. All these are important. We don't want, you can't live without your pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
You can live without your gallbladder. So just think about this. 700,000 surgeries are done on the gallbladder. And it's very interesting the way it contracts, the way that it is figures into our digestive system. So what are the things we can do to help prevent gallbladder disease?
That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the same things we need to be doing anyway. We need to eat more greens, eat more vegetables, lean proteins, try to keep a healthy weight. Remember last time, not last program, everyone needs to measure their waist.
Mm-hmm.
35 inches in women or greater, you're at greater risk for vascular disease. So if you eat fatty foods or animal products full of cholesterol, all this is going to affect our gallbladder.
if you eat a lower fat diet, more greens, more vegetables, just like you were talking about lean meats, does that, in a layman's terms, sort of take the pressure off the gallbladder?
Yes, it will be better. Also, know that the diet affects the gallbladder,
mm-hmm.
but the diet also affects your whole body. What about vascular disease? Now, we know that diet, I call it the foundation of everything. Your diet is your foundation. And when you're overweight, and if you quickly lose weight, then you're going to predispose. For example, many people who lose weight really quickly, like on a crash diet, which is not the healthy way. The healthy way to lose weight is 1 to 2 pounds a week. There are people who've lost an enormous amount of weight so quickly, mm-hmm. they have a higher chance of producing gallstones.
Mm.
So that is very important. Now, there are certain, there is a medication that can help dissolve stones, but the best thing to do if you have gallstones and they produce problems is to have surgery. Taking out the gallbladder will fix that problem. So it's very important to look at. It's important to know the function, and it's a beautiful concept to know that your body is recycling some of the old stuff, the old red blood cells, to use in another part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it is so amazing.
How serious is the surgery to remove the gallbladder and the recovery time and that kind of thing?
Well, it's nowadays they do laparoscopic surgery where they insert small little incisions, and they use small little incisions to remove the gallbladder. That's a laparoscopic. There's also an open surgery, which, of course, anytime you do open surgery, the downtime is longer for healing. So I want everyone to understand what parts of your body, where they're at, what are your signs and symptoms? Are you female? Are you fertile? Do you notice that after you eat fried foods? Because I ask patients, you eat fried foods, greasy foods, and everybody says, oh, I never eat greasy foods. Do you ever eat a French fry? Oh, well, that's fried. Yes, it is fried. So, and do you feel bloated? Do you feel like you're nauseous, or mm-hmm. you're getting some pain in your upper stomach or your right upper quadrant? Do you feel that pain going to your shoulder? Now, there's other things that can cause upper epigastric pain.
Sure.
But since we're focusing on the gallbladder, that would be the most common in the right upper quadrant.
Now, there are a bunch of shows that you may have missed in the past. They're all available on Dr. Triana's website. If you want to go back, the whole archive, so to speak, is there at TrianaPreventionCenter.com.
Yes.
Everybody know that. And you are accepting new patients, too.
Yes. And if you have a question, remember, ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. And I want everyone to stay healthy and learn as much as you can to stay healthy.